Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Up on today's show, we'll be talking to the entrepreneur behind the Zambrero chain of restaurants here in Ireland, and we'll be chatting live to the boss of Screwfix. And you can email us on business@newstalk.com. But first, let's have a look at the main international business stories in the newspapers and websites, which we shall do in the stupendous company of Russ Mould from AJ Bell. Good morning, Russ.
Morning to you, Joe. You well?
I'm not too bad. Tiny bit tired today. I was at the Coldplay gig last night.
Oh, good for you.
Pretty good gig, I must say.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Anyway, let's start with Brazil and X, because there is an almighty row down there.
The standoff continues. So the Supreme Court Judge Moraes has now requested that X be shut down. He argues that it's failed to appoint the new legal representative he demanded, and that it has not done enough to moderate or tackle what he calls offensive, or some people are interpreting as far-right comment. Elon Musk is snapping back, saying, well, we have shut down our local offices, as we said we would. He's obviously now defending free speech, as he does, and he's even calling Judge Moraes a dictator, or even Voldemort for Harry Potter fans out there. But the net result is the service is currently shut down. That's 22 million users. Around the Financial Times is reporting that about 500,000 of them are already affected to a rival service called Blue Sky. So now we'll see how the standoff works out. But I can't imagine it's doing an awful lot for the $44 billion price tag that Elon Musk paid for Twitter 2 or 3 years ago. And it shows that the worldwide round, whatever you think of the debate over free speech, regulatory pressure is building on big tech. You've got the Department of Justice after Google and Apple. The European Commission has been very active here. And now you've got legal pressure in Brazil.
Yeah. And you also have a situation whereby he's calling a judge a dictator, and he's slagging off all sorts of democratically elected leaders, including Keir Starmer in the UK. But he wouldn't dare say anything about Xi Jinping in China. And X is banned from China.
And he has production facilities out there in one of Tesla's biggest markets. So, yeah. Again, he's treading a very, very fine line there, as you correctly point out, James.
And also, the Brazilians have not only ordered the ISPs, the internet service providers, to shut down or not carry X traffic. They've also said that if anyone uses a VPN, a virtual private network, to access X, they'll be fined. Though I have no idea how they're going to police that.
How do you police that?
Yeah. How do you prove that?
Yeah.
And people don't necessarily put up their hands. Now, let's move to an interesting story in the Financial Times about Sotheby's.
Yeah, this is a fascinating one. They flagged that the auction house, its auction sales are down by roughly a quarter in the first half of this year. A few sales haven't gone as well as expected, and its profits are down by about 90%. Now, it's now privately owned by the French billionaire Patrick Draghi. He took it private in 2019. But it used to be quoted on the New York Stock Exchange with the brilliant ticket of BID, B-I-D. And if you look at the share price, it peaked in 2007, just before the Great Financial Crisis, 2011, before the Euro debt crisis, 2014 and 2018, before economic slowdown. So I actually used to use this stock as a really interesting litmus test for stock market activity and global economic activity. If the plutocrats are pulling their horns in and refusing to pay silly prices for things, it's probably worth paying attention. Now, the FT is putting this down to Chinese plutocrats being more careful because their economy is in the tank, and the pushback on conspicuous consumption continues from the very top. But let's just keep an eye on this one, because Sotheby's used to be a fantastic indicator for either good news or trouble ahead more widely. And if you were interpreting that literally, trouble would be the possible outcome at the moment.
And it's very interesting how companies like Primark and Penney's, which is owned by ABF, are doing very well. But Burberry is, you know, the prestige brand, is about to be kicked out of the FTSE 100 this week.
It is. I think some of that's down to the pressure that you've seen on the aspirational buyer. A lot of luxury good firms have jacked their prices up considerably because, you know, they don't make an awful lot of this stuff. And to many buyers of it, the fact that only they can afford it and a lot of other people can't is part of the appeal. But there's clearly a limit perhaps to which you can push your pricing. And Burberry may have found that. And again, there are a lot of people who maybe do this as a one-off, as a lifetime special. And maybe even they're pulling back a little bit again, because we've seen the cost of living crisis. We know what it's done to people. In the UK, inflation is in aggregate up by a quarter over the last 3 years, and that's hurting a lot of people.
Yes, and of course, inflation is what central banks look at. And this month, September, I hate to remind you that we're now into autumn, there will be big rate cuts, almost certainly from the European Central Bank once again, and for the first time in this cycle, from the Fed.
Yeah, we've had over 100 interest rate cuts worldwide this year, according to the very helpful website cbrates.com. I mean, I don't have to track it every day. Mm. But the Fed is the one that hasn't joined the party, but their preferred measure of inflation in America, the Personal Consumption Expenditure Index, rose by 2.5% year on year in the data that in the month of July that was released on Friday. So it's cooling back towards the 2% target, even if it isn't there yet. And for that Federal Reserve meeting on the 18th of September, markets are putting a 70% chance on a 0.25-point rate cut, a 30% chance on a 0.5-point cut. So they're expecting that the Fed is finally going to move and then take rates from 5.5% to 4.5% by this Christmas, 3.5% by the Christmas after, because they think the Fed is now more worried about unemployment, which is up by nearly a full percentage point from its low, rather than inflation, which on that preferred measure has come down from 7% to that 2.5% number.
Yeah, talking about inflation, ticket prices. You would swear there was nothing going on in the world on Saturday, but for people hunting for concert tickets.
Yes, well, I heard my daughter chunnering because she was one of the ones who kept on getting kicked out and ending up at the back of the queue in the mad scramble for Oasis tickets. And so what's happened, lots of complaints, people couldn't log on, they got kicked out, the queues were long, and if they were lucky enough to get through, they then found that for certain tickets, dynamic or surge pricing had been applied. So they started off looking at one price, and by the time they got there, they were looking at another one. And so there's understandably an awful lot of unhappiness about this amongst fans, and British politicians are threatening to pile in. Ticketmaster says that this dynamic pricing, which we see in taxis, flights, hotels, some British pubs now, for example, says it stops touting. Fans say, well, its pricing is out. If you don't mind, that's not very nice at all. And I noticed that a Dublin MEP, Regina Doherty, and I hope I pronounced the name properly, said that she thinks this may even contravene European Digital Service Act law. And Live Nation, the owner of Ticketmaster, is already being investigated by the Beak in America, the Department of Justice, for potential monopolistic tendencies, because it owns management venues, artists, ticket sales, both on sale and resale. So it holds everything from soup to nuts, partly through Ticketmaster. And so again, regulatory pressure is building. Let's see what comes of it. But you know, those are the lucky ones who got the tickets, one assumes are pretty happy about it. But yeah, finding one price being offered and paying another one, it's not very fun.
I don't know anybody that got tickets for €85. I know people that had to pay €500 per ticket to get tickets. And by the way, dynamic pricing should increase the supply, whereas in a concert, there's a set number of seats in a concert that you can sell tickets for. So you cannot change supply. So when you talk about dynamic pricing in the case of Uber, that will encourage drivers to enter the market to get the new surge pricing. This is not about dynamic pricing in the proper definition of it. So a lot of very angry people at the weekend. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And best of luck to your daughter getting those tickets. That is Russ Mould from AJ Bell.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.